The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Come again, less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the RigBiz podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and spring has sprung, the sun is shining, and we're all looking forward to being properly free. How are you doing, Mr. Archie Gesmanson?
I am well. I've taken two days off this week, and you can probably tell I've caught the sun a bit.
You have a tiny bit. Yeah, it's very unlike you to take time off work.
Well, I tell you, the weather was beautiful, so I chucked on a pair of budgie smugglers and headed to Clapham Common. And let me tell you, it was delicious.
So have you been milking the new rule of six? I'm guessing you took 2 days off, you had people around for barbecues.
No, mate. Just a bit of time to myself, just tanning the rig. And yeah, mate, the common was full of some beautiful cheekers. And I think I met someone.
Really?
Yeah.
You finally met someone?
Yeah,
go on, tell the millions who listen.
Look, it's just, I'm a bit giddy about it, but I was there with my budgie smugglers doing some squats, and there was a chica running around the common. We caught eyes, and we exchanged Strava. And
what do you mean you exchanged Strava? I mean, what's that mean for the listeners who don't know?
Well, it's like a running app, and we just started following each other on it. And I don't know if there's a song to describe that moment. Is Rendezvous by Craig David? Have you ever heard it?
Play that song.
And that will explain everything.
Okay.
Just get it on, mate.
If you insist.
6 o'clock in the morning, wipe the sleep from my eyes. It felt just like an ordinary day. Just around the corner, such a surprise. A beautiful chica materialized. Time stood still face to face. I'm sure I met her in another time, or in another time or place. Wrapped in as she passed me by. Souls entwined in a blink of an eye. And I had to figure out what I'd be fishing. So I turned to her and asked her if you wanted to. Rendezvous, where to? My place, say two. And we can do anything you want to do. Tonight is your night. Do you close your eyes? Take a minute, take a moment, do you rise? Do you see me when you fantasize? Tonight will be your night. Oh.
Archie, I've never seen you like this, mate. I mean, what's next? Big day around the corner, Shilly?
No. Clearly, you obviously have no idea about chicas. Now, I'm playing the long game. I've just said kudos to her for a few of her runs, and we'll see what happens.
And now a message from a man standing to be your next mayor, Archie Curzon.
My name is Archie Curzon, and I have been the mayor of Clapham for the last 5 years. But now I am standing for Mayor of London, to try and right the wrongs, to make London as good as Clapham. My main policies are free CrossFit for all, free private education for all, meaning that the city will boom in years to come, infernos in every borough, and to reduce the body fat of every Londoner by 2024. And I'll be doing that with my partner, Fresh Fitness Food, a nutritious and delicious food delivery that can help you lose weight and get your chassis in good nick. Why not use the code RIGBIZ50 to get £50 off your first week?
I didn't think you were allowed to, I mean, was that a real advert?
Because that, I don't want to say, but that was bloody good.
I didn't think you were allowed to incentivize with financial gain when you're standing to be mayor of London. But you're joking. That was a joke.
Well, I don't know.
What?
I don't want to say anything right now.
You're not standing to be mayor of London.
I may be. I don't know.
But mate, that's a serious job. Like,
yes, Freddie, I've got a serious job in the city. I know what serious jobs are, mate.
You're joking. You're not going to stand against
Sadiq. I don't want to say anything at the moment.
Mate, it's a terrifying thought, you being mayor.
I actually think it would be bloody good banter.
Oh, my big bush, it grows. Oh, my big bush, it grows. Finally had to go and see a senorita, but my bush looks like a hairy cheetah.
Yeah, I had a dream at a lockdown that I could hit the common with a chica, we could get down. But she says, no, no, tush, there's no way I'm getting near that hairy bush. I'm saying, baby, you're being scary, but I am hairy. There's one thing I can promise you, that I will get it shaved or right. I'll get it sterilized, I'll reinvent your eyes. I'll make you flinch when I find that extra inch. And when I come out, the lawnmower 3.0 is coming up my body and going down slow. Gliding on my balls through my ass, my chest later. Time to wave goodbye to the bush loving haters. I can love you every day a different way, cause I'll no longer be hairy, baby, there's no fucking way. And I use the code RIBBIS20, I even got a discount, free shipping globally, I'm like a fucking mother discount. I wanna say thanks to the CCO, he's got my body in check, and now Chica run the go.
Clodie, I tell you what, you are getting bloody good at rapping, and I know
thank
a thing
you.
Or two about rapping because I
you?
Listen to a lot of Ja Rule.
Right, okay. Well, thank you so
actually,
much.
Actually, mate, I'm getting a little bit jealous. I'm actually going to do a rap next week.
No, mate.
Put me down, mate. You'll see. I'm going to spit some lyrics.
Oh, God. So, Archie, today we are joined by an incredibly special guest from Beyond the Seas.
Legend.
Mr. Jamie Cudmore, a.k.a. rugby's toughest player, a.k.a. the biggest thugger in rugby. I mean, the guy's a legend. He's won it all in France, and he's a beacon. Yeah. He's played in 4 World Cups.
Played with Benders.
4 World Cups.
Played with Benders.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a side product of his career, but he's played in 4 World Cups.
Bet you will get on well. Let's get him in, because I reckon me and him are going to hit it off big time.
Today, we're joined by a man who's been labelled as a genetic freak who occasionally likes to fight. Rugby's biggest thug and rugby's toughest player by 3 separate videos on YouTube, which have amassed over 2 million views. Firstly, Jamie, do you think that those titles are fitting?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think that's too fair. You know, there's something to be said for, I guess, my style of play over the years. But, might be sound a little cliche, but my mother always used to say it's better to give than to receive. So I guess I kind of took that to heart as a rugby player.
Right, that's one of the first things they tell you in boarding school.
Well, I wouldn't know too much about that. I didn't do too much in school, and yeah.
When I went to boarding school, my dad said, you know, it's better to give than receive.
Yeah,
and that put me in good stead.
Your nickname in the game was Cuddles, an ironic moniker considering your tough and ruthless style of play. Do you remember who first came up with that brilliant nickname?
A brilliant nickname is by an old club coach of mine here in North Vancouver on the West Coast of Canada. At the mighty Capilano Rugby Club, there was a coach there by the name of Roger Hatch, who was a great age grade coach, a good high school coach at the local school as well, and coached us. And he thought, you know, exactly as he saw this kind of this big monkey looking kid coming down from the woods up in Squamish. Nobody really knew, you know, what I was all about, but I knew they knew that I didn't mind getting involved. So, you know, he thought it quite funny that, you know, Cudmore, Cuddles, and it kind of went from there. And as you know, it's those nicknames that you hate the most that always stick. So, yeah, that one's been around me for at least the last 25 years.
Just before we really delve into this incredible career you've had in the game, and I know you're still coaching out in Canada, have you listened to any of the Rugby's podcasts? Are you familiar with our work?
Yeah, I've done a bit of research this past week, and you know, I've really enjoyed it. And you know, seeing people not only in the rugby circles, but you know, other circles, business influencers such as yourself, Charlie. You know, there's a lot of interesting people on.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the podcast where we are like a LinkedIn, but a podcast. It's right. We connect with everyone, and business is to be had. It is, you know, Cutters, it's a shame you're not here in London. Otherwise, we'd be commencing this podcast in the net. If there's one person I'd love to take on a night out in Clapham, it would be you. I think we'd look like a phenomenal tour. I mean, it would be good to have a Hask there as well. Maybe I could dress you both in black suits and black ties, and I could sort of pretend you were my bodyguards. That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, you can do that. Or if it's just the two of us, it kind of look like Arnie and Danny DeVito in Twins.
Exactly, but a sort of Danny DeVito who's gone to the gym, has fantastic hair, and is in good shape.
You've got a tight rig on you there, don't you, Charlie?
Yeah, and I also love a bit of CrossFit. And Cutters, I've got to be saying, I've watched your Instagram with. And I know that you enjoy a few kettlebell swings and some bike assaults.
I do. I try to keep moving as much as I can. A few of the boys who have recently retired, we throw workouts back and forth to each other, whether it's on the rower, the assault bike and all that. It's just good to keep the body moving.
And I'm guessing you played against Hask when you were playing.
Oh, yeah. We used to punch each other in the face all the time. It was quite fun, actually.
A good guy. Did you ever have a night out with him on sort of outside rugby?
No, I never. I was never had the fortunate opportunity of going out on the booze with James. But, we've got many mutual friends. And, unfortunately, I didn't have any of those great nights that they did when they were up playing with Paris. But we definitely had our fair share of fun down in the south of France.
JC, I want to take you back to your childhood growing up in Winnipeg in Canada in the late 80s and early 90s. Before you'd even fallen in love with the wonderful sport, which is rugby, you found yourself in a sort of a spot of bother, a bit of trouble, and ended up becoming an enforcer. Please take us back to those sort of days of growing up and how you ended up becoming involved in that.
I actually grew up in Squamish on the West Coast. You're just north of Vancouver, you get to Squamish, you continue on, you get up to Whistler, big ski town. That's kind of the valley that I grew up in. I was only in Winnipeg for a couple of weeks after I was born and my parents moved out west. Growing up in Squamish back in the 80s, it was very different to what it is now. Now it's it's an outdoors destination. People have moved there for snowboarding, snowmobiling, mountain biking, rock climbing. It's one of the outdoor destination capitals of North America, really. But back in the 80s, it was a logging town, a mill town. So you had the sawmill downtown, you had a pulp and paper mill on the other side of the valley, and then most people either worked in town or they worked in the bush. So it was, a pretty small town mentality. And I was a big rambunctious young fella trying to, find my way in life. And, I was maybe not too interested in the school stuff. Definitely got into a bit of extracurricular activities with some of the boys. And, some of that stuff spilled over at times and maybe put me in some pretty dicey situations. But, it's part and parcel of growing up. You make dumb decisions here and there. And, I was involved with some guys who, a lot of them are dead now because they've been involved in bad stuff. And you, when you continue on along those veins, it never really turns out very well. And it was kind of at that time, 15, 16 years old is when I started playing rugby. And my boss at the time, I was logging in the summer, and he had created a small club, a little third division club in Squamish. And he said, listen, if you guys want to stop being shitheads on the weekend and getting in trouble with the cops and all the rest of it, why don't you come play rugby? You can fight and punch and carry the ball and run around and you'll get rewarded for that as opposed to getting thrown in the clink for the evening. So we thought, all right, let's give it a go. And that's kind of how it all started.
Cutters, do you think that is due to your size that you became sort of in track with these guys?
You back up your buddies. That's when I grew up as that. You deal with problems yourself, you deal with it between four eyes, and after that, you carry on. But the fact that I was bigger definitely helped me in some of those situations. I maybe probably took things a little bit too far. There's a few years there where I was in detention centers and what have you. But that's part of growing up. I got all those kind of heebie-jeebies out of me before I was 18, before anything got really serious in terms of adult trouble or whatever. But it's part of growing up. And I think those experiences definitely molded me. I grew up a lot faster than, you know, a lot of people around me, because of, you know, going through those difficult situations. And I definitely think it helped me in the future in terms of, you know, being resilient and mentally tough to compete again in rugby at the highest level.
Well, you've unbelievably represented Canada in four World Cups from 2003 to 2015. As you look back over those four campaigns spanning every decade and a half, what stands out as the overriding highlights, and also as a team and personally, your sort of biggest regret from those campaigns?
Well, I definitely don't have any personal regrets from those World Cup campaigns. I'll always remember the first one in Australia, running on against Wales, and then running on again the week after against the All Blacks. Those first two games are huge for me. First time I'd played in, you know, massive big stadiums, full crowds, and all the kind of media hype around it. It was a really eye-opening experience, and it definitely made me hungry for more. So that was kind of the biggest thing, you know, getting my first cap in 2002, huge honor to finally represent my country, and then being able to go into the World Cup, the first of four in 2003 was, for me, it was a life-changing experience and an incredibly proud moment for myself and for my family.
Jamie, as I said in the intro, you're infamous for being one of the most aggressive and physical players this sport has ever seen throughout history, and have a, you know, rather colourful discipline record, to say the least. Of all the punch-ups and fights you've had on the field, which one lives longest in the memory? I'll give you a short list of three. The Paul O'Connell red card, the punch against Gregory Dukovec, or the assault on Tim Payne?
Oh, I don't know if that was a... Yeah, it's funny you talk about that Tim Payne one, because you know who started all that?
Who was that, Big TP?
Haskell.
Our buddy James.
Fridge. He gave me
a smack on the side of the scrum on the opposite side of the field. And then I wasn't quite sure who did it. So anyway, the next ruck we got into, you know, unfortunately, Mr. Payne took the brunt of my anger at that time. But it would have been funny. Maybe we should add do a little ground and pound with James, because I hear he's doing the MMA stuff now. So maybe we'll have a charity go at it.
Well, actually, me, I don't know if you listen to their podcast, The Good, The Bad and The Rugby, but me and Paino, the host, are at Christmas having a charity boxing match. So I'll put it to Hask on Instagram and see if we can arrange you and him to get in the ring.
Maybe they could be the undercard.
Yeah, bare knuckle though.
Bare knuckles, I got no problem with that.
Come on, Roger, come on. You've had a nasty 3 months as it is, losing your job, moving out here by yourself. You haven't had the woman's touch for over 5 months now. Surely those conspiracies about the police arresting you out here for butchering porn can't be true. No, I shouldn't. Oh, fuck it, come on. Pornhub.com.
Dubai police, open up!
Oh shit,
Dubai police, open
I'm
up.
Coming!
Get down, get down on the ground, You're arrested! You go Pornhub, you're arrested!
Living out in Dubai in fear of your life for breaking the rules and spending years banged up in a dirty little jail? Well, fear not. That's where we come in. At AC Limited Solicitors, we specialize in helping expats such as yourself get around the rules. All you have to do is go onto AC Limited website, go onto the solicitor sidebar, and we'll be at your service to make sure it's not a hard knock life.
Jamie, going back to those fights, I mean, obviously you were famous for, you know, getting in a bit of a scrap. I imagine reading a lot about Irish rugby that you got probably quite a lot of shit from the Irish for the Paul O'Connell fight, just because they seem to be incredibly loyal to their own. So what was the biggest fallout? And did you ever fall out with the lads properly, or was it all just, you know, stayed on the pitch and then a fight afterwards?
Oh, no, it's rugby, man. You leave it on the field. Paul and I have got a great relationship. We've, you know, as soon as that game was over, we were up in the after match, you know, I had a meal and had a pint together. And that's how, that's one of the great things I love about this game. You know, you, whatever happens on the field stays on the field. You shake hands after, and there's no hard feelings. You know, if I lose one or if I win one, it doesn't matter. You know, that's part and parcel with rugby. So yeah, I definitely got a lot of stick from the Irish fans, but that's to be expected. They're emotionally attached to their players and to their teams. And, you know, I got no problem with that. But besides all that social media stuff, like I don't listen to any of that stuff. Like, come on, it's like the breeze; it just goes right past you.
Well, to be honest, I've got to say your attitude would be phenomenal in the city. You know, if you weren't a rugby player, in my office, you'd make a lot of coin. Just going to let you know that. So if you ever, you know, fancy to relocate, you can move to Clapham, bring the family over. I'll get you a job in the office. And we're talking six-figure salary, starting with a 3.
Well, I tell you, if you're looking for somebody in finance, I'd have to send the wife because she's a lot more qualified than I am. But, you know, I would be pretty good, I think, in that liaison piece where, you know, connecting clients and, you know, creating good a good rapport with people so that you know we can build good business.
Maybe outside the podcast cutters, we can talk about setting up our own shop. You know, it will be like, you know, taking clients out on the piss and then getting the deal done. And if it doesn't work out, then you can enforce the pain, and I'll just give them the chat.
Hey, that's a 1-2 punch that might just work.
Well, Jamie, just to finish off on your physical prowess on the pitch, I mean, you played against the best players in the world for both club and country, but who were the players who wound you up the most? People who knew we may be able to sort of get Jamie to lash out a tiny bit if we rub him up the wrong way. So who would stand out when you look back on your career who really try to wind you up and sort of get you going in the wrong ways?
There's definitely a few guys who did some pretty underhanded things in terms of trying to get me going, and teammates, you know, with the eye gouging and the biting and stuff. You know, my early part of the career in France, it's a bit like the Wild West. You know, like, I had guys 2 digits deep in my eyes numerous times in the bottom of rocks when you're pinned and you can't defend yourself. And to me, that's not rugby. You know, those are cowardly street fighting antics. But definitely happened. You know, I've buried the hatchet with him now. But Remy Martin, who was the back row for France and for Stade Français, we always had quite a few battles, and his tactics were not above board whatsoever. But you know, we've buried the hatchet so far. So, you know, there's no hard feelings.
Cuddo, apart from like someone winding up, who was the toughest competitor you came across? If you look back at your career, who did you enjoy the battles against?
Definitely had some good battles with Paulie, obviously, with that incident in 2008. And then, you know, us managing to go up to Munster, beat them in Munster, and then smash them at home the week later. So that was good to kind of, you know, get one over on Paulie, where I got the red card, I think, somewhat unjustly in 2008. But just in terms of like leadership and quality of play, Paulie was one that was very, very difficult to play against. Mm. And another one would be Brad Thorne with his time in Leinster. Yeah, Thorny is, sorry. Yeah, I know you know him a lot better than I do.
So, yeah, we're connected on LinkedIn.
Yeah, of course. So, Brad, always very, very difficult competitor. We had some great battles against Clermont Leinster as we were, you know, trying to get to the finals before 2013.
Well, Jamie, you've become very vocal in the recent concussion debate, and I believe you're still in some legal proceedings against, for damages against Clermont for their actions in the 2015 semi-final against Saris. Can you take our listeners through what happened on that day, your views on the topic in general? And also, has this whole case somewhat, you know, tarnished, ruined your relationship with the wonderful club which you made your own, the place which became home?
As you said, semi-final of the European Cup, 2015, Clermont versus Saracens. Obviously, huge game against a storied club there in England. We had a great game. Kind of in the beginning of the second half, I went flying into a ruck at the same time as Billy Villanapola, who kind of just both collided at the same time, like kind of a couple of rams up in the mountains, button heads. Just an accident of play. This happens all the time. Unfortunately, we were both a bit concussed. I don't know about him, but I was definitely concussed. I was split on my head, so I was taken off for blood. Went through the HIA process after my stitches were put in. The team doctor deemed that I had not passed the HIA. So he said, your day's done, go sit down, take your boots off. I argued with him for a bit because I obviously wanted to continue on, as most rugby players do. You're not in the right frame of mind to make a decision, but you're still going to try to get back out there. The doctor, fair enough, said, no, you're no good. Sit down, take your boots off, day's over. So I kind of sit down in the change room, dejected, start undoing one of my boots. kind of sitting around waiting, just frustrated, really. All of a sudden, the other doctor comes running in, says, Jamie, Seb Bahamina, your second row partner, he's no good. Can you come back on? And I thought, oh, this is my chance. Yes. Yeah, of course. I tie my boots up and I quickly get back out there. I get back on, finish the game. And after that, not very happy that we won. We won 15 days. We're in Twickenham in the final. But I couldn't get excited. I wasn't really that happy. Felt very tired. It's classic symptoms of post-concussion. So went and saw the neurologist on the Monday, had numerous MRIs. They said, listen, we're not going to force through this return to play, which is now 6 days. We're going to push it to 10 days and see how you do next Tuesday. So I didn't play in the top 14 semifinal that following weekend, which we won. So then we were in two finals. So we had the Twickenham final the following week. And then the week after that was the top 14 final. So we had two finals on the bounce. I got the green light on the Tuesday through the neurologist and through my team doctor and through myself. Everybody wanted me to be able to play. I wanted myself to play. But I think in retrospect that, you know, I wasn't quite ready. I hadn't fully recovered from that big hit the week before. Anyway, I get the green light. I train that week. We leave on the Thursday, have, slow walkthrough on the Friday and then into the game on the Saturday. And I remember now, like, I couldn't quite get excited for a game, which is, you know, one of the biggest games in rugby, you know, European Cup final in Twickenham.
I was there.
You were there, Charlie. So, you know, yeah. Too bad I didn't know. We didn't know each other then. You couldn't give me some more moral support.
I obviously don't want to interrupt your story, but I just want to say I was the one that told Benders to chip it over. And I think he heard me in the crowd and he scored.
Well, that's some timely coaching on your part. Yeah, so I was just quite lethargic. I'm thinking maybe I'm tired. Maybe I don't know what's the matter. Anyway, I get into it. I do my warm up, and with the team, I'm starting to feel better. Starting to feel I'll be good to go. So all right, we get into it. Start playing. Kind of the second or third tackle I made of the game. It was two guys coming through the same hole. You had Chris Massoli and Xavier Choki in behind them. So I got two boys well over 100 kilos. I smacked them in the hip, low, proper shoulder contact. Everything's fine. I end up on my ass. And I'm kind of looking up at the stars and the lights up at Twickenham and thinking, geez, what's going on here? This isn't normal. Normally I'm dominating, not going the other way. The referee calls for HIA. I go off. I deem to get through the HIA, come back on. In the second half, about midway through the second half, I have a head-on-head collision with another player. I go down for about 5-6 seconds. I've got blood coming out my head, so I get taken off for blood, not for HIA. While I'm getting stitched up in the change room, I start vomiting in the garbage can while the doctor is stitching me up. Classic sign of post-concussion. So anyway, I wanted to get back out there. There was the kit manager, even our 25th player, one of our traveling reserve, Benson Stanley, who actually had a lot of concussion issues himself. He even said, like, Doc, are you sure you want to let him back out there after he's been vomiting? And Doc said, oh no, he says he's okay. So he let me go and I finished the game. And that started kind of, 3 weeks, really, really bad symptoms. I didn't sleep for about 10 days, even though I wanted to. I couldn't get my brain to shut off, and created some really, really bad symptoms and post-concussion problems that I'm still dealing with really to this day.
Well, Jamie, on a lighter note, your brother took a completely different career path to you. One took a similar one, played some wonderful rugby out in Canada alongside yourself. But your other brother, he decided to go down the acting route, and unbelievably, he's become an X-Men. I mean, he is known as Mutant Colossus? Am I right in saying that?
So you got two boys that played pretty high level rugby, and then you got the big shot, Dan, the Hollywood A-lister, as you called him.
I should have been a Cudmore.
Well, yeah, hey Charlie, I
would have fitted in.
Well, there's still time, buddy. There's still time. Yeah, but no, Dan's done very well with his different movie roles, through through the X-Men series into Twilight. He was involved in, I think, three of the Twilight movies. And he's done a lot of other stuff, either in stunts or in acting. And he's been very successful in that. So yeah, there's definitely three brothers that have done pretty well. And hope we can continue to collaborate and work together and push on in the future.
You haven't got a sister?
No.
Archie, behavior.
That was the only way I was going to get behave in the family. Yourself. That was the only way I was going to get in the family.
Jamie, thank you so much. You've been absolutely incredible, mate.
Time. Absolute hero to come in the pods. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, JC.
I enjoyed it.
Cheers, mate.
See you when you're in London, sir.
Yeah. All right.
What an incredibly interesting guy.
What a good guy. And I tell you what, me and him would absolutely take the city by storm.
Well, I'm not so sure that's email true, him after Archie, that. Because he called you Jolly the whole way throughout the interview.
Oh, yeah, but that I'm pretty sure is a nickname.
Really?
In Canada, yeah. I mean, have you been to Canada before?
No.
What?
Have you?
No, I haven't. But I think that's their banter. I think if you were a top boy, they say like, all right, Charlie.
Right. It just seemed that you were too scared to even like, oh, no, Jamie, I'm so scared of you because you're like a big bossy guy.
Interesting fact about me. I do not get intimidated by anyone. But yeah, I quite like that nickname. That could stick with the Canadian audience. That's what I'll be known. No, not the magician, not Archie Cousin, not the CCO, not the CEO, but just Charlie.
It's time for a memory from Archie's diary. You better sit back because it's going to get fiery. It's time for a memory from Archie's diary. If you girls are single, then make an inquiry.
Before we bring out another little installment of your wonderful memoirs,
what a fabulous section it is. I thoroughly enjoy looking at my diary from those years gone, and it's really nostalgic.
No, I agree.
And quite emotional, actually.
Yeah.
I get a lot of messages from 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds just saying, you are sort of my Jesus. I want to follow your footsteps. Yeah, I mean, I think I've changed the trend in gap year. A lot of people going abroad, going on ski seasons, going to Africa to find themselves. Now you're going to see a steady stream of people going to Canary Wharf.
Well, Archie, yesterday we hit the height of 22 degrees in Clapham. The sun was shining.
It's beautiful.
But one thing I couldn't help but
notice. You should have seen
me
in my budgie sparklers, mate.
Mate, I'm glad I didn't. But one thing I couldn't help but notice was the shine, that sort of seepy grease you get on a bald man's frown.
Yeah.
I mean, how discretionary.
Oh, right. Is this a seamless link into.
Well, no, it's not a seamless link. It's just a point.
To suns.
Well, we are going to talk about suns, yeah.
Well, are they back again this week?
They are back
again,
yeah.
They're always back on there, just giving us cash. Right. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to break it to some people. You're a little bit too late if you haven't saw your lid out now.
Really?
I think so.
They can get it done in 1 month.
Well, okay. Well, they can't go out for a month.
Well, that's it.
But that's actually not a bad thing. Invest in some gym equipment, get yourself in seriously good shape, and get your lid sorted. Well, so, there is time. There is time.
There's always time. And guys, the thing is, the proper summer will only be a couple of months away. So get involved in a 1 month, 3 month package. Over 90% success rate improving people's lids. And by improving, I mean bringing it back from the dead.
And I know some people were thinking, no, I'll just wear a hat. Sorry, mate. Don't think you can wear a hat in infernos.
No, true. That's
no, you can actually on fancy dress nights.
Oh, you can.
But it's just not good chat having a hat on the whole time. It actually increases your hair loss if you wear your hat the whole time.
Exactly. So if you're bald, you're sort of double threat.
Actually going against what Suns does. So you're wearing a hat because you're embarrassed of your lid, but then you're losing more hair. Whereas Suns is saying, take this stuff and get a lid
get a lid like mine.
Look at my lid at the moment.
Yeah, very full.
Unbelievable.
Sort of like the mane of Aslan from The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe.
People say I look like a lean, better looking version of Camille Chat.
Well, that's quite a big sentence and quite a big statement.
I can't believe we've never spoken about that guy. Because is one hell of a name.
Well, guys, if you want to sort out your
If I had a new surname, it would be Archie Chat.
Well, guys, it's not too late to sort out your lids.
We look that similar, we could be related. He certainly doesn't need sons.
No, he doesn't. But guys, you do. So guys, please go get the 1 month or 3 month package. Success on over 90% of people. And guess what? To make it a little bit easier, we're giving you £20 off both. Go to the Suns website now and put in the code RIGBIZ20.
Just do it. It's getting boring saying this every week.
Headed back to my dad's to surprise him for Easter. I couldn't wait to see the look on the old man's face when I got there. And let me tell you, he was completely shocked. I think he was actually like angry shocked because it was just like he had no idea it was that much of a surprise. And actually, a little note to myself, don't surprise Dad. He doesn't like it. I think I'll just ask to come for Christmas in advance. Turns out Dad had his new wife's family there and he told me to keep out of the way because he was doing some serious BD. I did offer to wingman him, but he said he had it all under control. Plan was actually go down there for the whole Easter weekend, but I'm going to head back in the morning and Dad said he'd take me to the station, so it'd be really nice to hang out with him. It's been a great day, even if I did see my dad for just 10 minutes, but I've actually spent the majority of the time in my room doing press-ups, sit-ups, sorting out my mini-disc collection and sorting out my loaded magazine stash. Let me tell you, one day that stash is going to be worth a lot of coin. I have to say, if I wasn't working in the city, I'd probably go and get a job working for Loaded. I mean, the humour is slightly on the sexist side, but it is bloody funny.
Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations we all know. Clubhouse stories, oh, initiations, we want to know them now.
So, Archie, now it's time for another little instalment of your favourite section, Clubhouse stories.
Yeah, mate. Everybody I see when I'm running around Clapham Common stop me and just say they absolutely love Clubhouse stories. The last couple of weeks have been top notch.
Well, this one's a bit more mysterious.
Yeah, it's been equivalent of a FTSE 100 business.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah, yeah. The last two stories.
Well, this one comes in from...
It's just the amount of banter people have got, and these are like through and through rugger boys.
Yeah, they are.
That's what we want. Well, that's what our audience are. Just rugger boys all together.
They
listening
bleed rugger
for the chat.
Well, this one comes from...
Go on. What's his name?
I can't say his name because he's currently a teacher in a secondary school.
Oh.
And has asked me not to say his name.
Oh, okay.
But he starts after saying,
mate,
don't say his name.
This is like Ross Kemp.
He says, bonjour, Freddie and Archie. I hope this finds you well.
It does. We've had 2 days of phenomenal weather. I couldn't be in a better mood.
Well,
I've got the love of my life on Strava. I'm on fire. I'm ready to do business. Hit me with it.
Well,
this better be good, Freddie.
Contrary to popular belief, a proper rugby tour does not involve playing any rugby abroad.
Okay, yeah.
Instead...
You know what he's trying to say? They're just all on the piss.
Instead, it entails...
it's like a lad's holiday.
It entails,
it's just like everybody there getting absolutely steamboated and just being sick on each other.
Well, instead, it entails consuming 3 litres of white Ace cider in a 4-hour minibus journey.
Yeah.
To Gatwick Airport before taking a luxurious EasyJet flight to whichever Eastern European city has the cheapest pint.
Yeah. It's like a stag do, but just with, just like everyone is a good lad. Because you can go on stag dudes and there'll be a few people on the peripherals that you think, oh no, they're not up for it. Sort of, you might think they might play hockey. But this is just rugger boys on tour.
Through and through.
Getting lashed.
Well, one tour took us to the home of the Rubik's Cube, Budapest.
Okay.
Where the Hungarians quenched our thirst with Borsodili Lager and fueled us with their local cuisine of chicken legends.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cause that's good. So they're getting pissed, but they're keeping their protein intake up.
On our penultimate evening in the hostel.
That's second to last.
It
is
indeed.
Second to last evening.
It was decided.
Which is always the best evening
it
when
is.
You're on rugby tour.
It was
because the last evening you don't actually want to go too hard because you'll have work the next day.
Well,
second to last, guys, if you're listening, that's when you go big.
On the penultimate evening, it was decided that I face off against a legendary tourist who goes by the name of Gimply for the title of tour
hero.
He doesn't say, but much like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, once a year, student Oliver Brown undergoes a hideous transformation into the tour rules monstrosity that is Gimply.
Ugh,
his heightened sense can detect right-hand drinking from afar,
and
no freshest pint is safe from saving the queen.
This guy sounds like he is a serious tourist.
The challenge...
Wouldn't want him on the Lions tour, let me tell you, because there'll be a few people getting, mate, neck it.
The challenge was a simple one.
Right hand, mate. See it off.
The challenge was...
Gimpy's got you. Gimpy's got you there. Gatland, why have you brought Gimpy here? Mate, he's here to make sure you don't drink with your left hand.
Your right hand. The challenge
drink with your left, don't drink with your right.
The challenge was simple. A naked wrestle on a mattress with the aim to lick hot sauce off the opponent's nipple.
It'd be better if it was a different area of the body.
The wrestle was not only a test of physical prowess, but also a test of mind. Before the game commenced, Gimpy raised his arms in a gladiatorial pose and urinated on the mattress, much to the delight of the fellow tourists, exclaiming, are you not entertained? Isn't that your line, Arch?
Yeah, that is phenomenal, C.H.A.T. chat. Pissing and then just saying, come on, let's have it.
This great feat of masculinity was designed to unnerve. However, I'd previously inhaled the smoke of Europe's finest Camel Blue cigarettes and was on my way to entering the tour zone. I beckoned Gimpy close to commence the battle, for he was not the only one with a trick up his sleeve. Crouch, I exclaimed, luring my opponent into thinking this would be a regular scrummage. However, wrong. he was when the next line exclaimed was "touch pipes," whereupon a swift connection of the genitals was sufficient to throw Gimpley off his game. Laughter erupted from the fellow tourists, delighted by this feat of bravery in what was a modern retelling of the biblical tale
it's
of
like
David
a sword
versus
fight.
Goliath.
It's like a sword fight.
It is like
but
a sword
with
fight.
Cocks.
Pause, engage. The wrestle was a battle
wait,
to behold.
Oh wait, did the cock go anywhere?
I mean, maybe in our mind's eye, but I'm not quite sure. The wrestle was a battle to behold, requiring me to summon the strength from my rugby ancestors to slay the beast that was Gimpley. Both fighters gave their all for the club, but there could only be one victor. Fortunately, my plan to throw Gimpley off his game worked, and in my camel blue-induced torzone high, I emerged with hot sauce
wow.
on my lips,
wow.
soaked in his urine, yet victorious.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to be victorious, in someone else's urine. That is bloody good rugby banter.
Cheers for taking the time to consider my story.
Not a
love
problem.
The pod, love the lash.
Mate, that guy is, I bet you, is one of the best teachers in the country, if not in Europe.
So what are you going to give him, Arch?
Mate, that is chat out of chat.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
We have not just got a chat out of chat.
We're not able to get him on the pod.
Oh my God. We've just
that
got a chat out of
everything a rugby story needed.
Yeah, piss.
Had piss, cocks, smoking, drinking, abroad, nakedness.
God. Wrestling.
Brilliant. Absolutely it was, brilliant. Yeah. That's phenomenal. That has made my day.
Well, you know, let's ring the bell because we've just got a chat out of chat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to a sunny yet incredibly entertaining and wonderfully insightful episode of the Rubies Podcast.
Oh, is it the end?
It is the end, sir.
Oh, that's a shame. I really enjoyed that pod.
It was very, very enjoyable, incredibly insightful.
And if I was looking at that rugby match, I was saying we probably didn't play our best. I think a few of the squad have got comfortable,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to shake it up this week. We still won, and we still put in a shift, and we won the game, but I'm looking at a few guys, looking at the pack, saying, guys, we need to get in those rucks and start jackling. We need to be more competitive in the rucks.
Yeah, well, to be fair...
I can't do everything. Yes, if I get the ball and give it down the back line, magic happens, but we need to be... involved in the dirty work.
Yeah.
You roll your sleeves up, get involved. I'll see you in training on Tuesday.
To be fair, we did come up against the dirtiest player of all time, Mr. Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah.
I mean, known as a thug rugby.
But no, strong podcast. This podcast is just going up, up, up. I mean, we'll be in Division 1 next season.
Well, guys, now the sun is shining.
No one below us is near us.
No,
we've
I agree.
We've destroyed everyone.
Well, guys, now the sun is
people
shining.
People are actually thinking they're going to drug test us because we've been that good.
Well, I completely agree.
I'm looking at you, Clody.
Yeah, yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
You look like someone who might partake in drugs. Not me.
Well, obviously, you're saying we're going up a division next year. We're going from strength to strength. But what about next week? I mean, the guy we've got on, can we reveal who it is or not?
Yeah, tell them, mate.
Simon Zeebo.
Zeebs from one of my favourite films, Living with the Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably my favourite character in that Living with the Lions.
Well, guys, please don't forget to share, subscribe, like, and comment and keep this
Clody, baby growing. Clody, just stop there. Every week you say that, but... no one's doing anything. So
well, we
just leave it to me. Guys, I'm talking to you straight down your earphones or on your speaker. Get on the internet and write a review. Put some bloody good chat. I mean, the internet needs some seriously good banter, and I'm relying on you guys to do it. And honestly, the best comment will win a hat. And that's pretty good for people who don't want to do suns.
And they're now doing personalization.
I've got my cat with AC.
Very, very smart. Well, guys, have a wonderful week.
And it's not Archie chat.
Enjoy the
it's
sunshine.
Archie,
are you going to take note of the six people you're allowed in the garden? Are you going to see anyone this weekend?
Well, I've seen the Chassis Monsters, of course. Big, big weekend with the Chassis Monsters. On Clapham Common, six of us absolutely tearing up trees with barrel ropes, kettlebells, shoulder presses. You name it, we'll be doing that. I tell you what, I've said to the guys in the WhatsApp group, who can do 250 burpees the quickest, and everyone was like, me, it's gonna be mental. I cannot wait.
So you're not seeing your family for Easter?
No, unfortunately not. Alistair said that I need to have the two jabs before I can see him, and I said to him, you know, that could be till Christmas time. He said, if that's the case, that, you know, safety first. You know what, Alistair's right. That's the interesting thing about Alistair. There's not much he doesn't know, and he, to be fair, he'd be bloody good in the military because he is just so considered and consistent in his thought process, and that's why I really respect him.
Yeah, and emotionless.
I wonder if he's listening.
Dad,
sorry, Alistair, I hope this finds you well.
Well, Archie, thank you so much. Guys, enjoy your weekends. Have a wonderful Easter, and we'll see you all next week.
child grows up to be somebody that just loves to learn. And another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.